This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. Or go home. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good morning. Another beautiful Saturday morning in the Twin Towns. In the studio with me this morning, coming off a section championship win yesterday against OTC Bulldogs, 34-6. It's head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Chad Fredrickson. Coach, I'm just going to cut through it. Congratulations. Big win yesterday.
Thank you, Andrew. It was a lot of fun.
And this is a situation you guys have been in a couple years in a row. I think this was the fourth consecutive trip to the section championship, and this was the... Was it the first time in 4 years or second time in 4 years you were able to punch it through?
Yeah, unfortunately, the COVID year, you know, 2020, we did win it, but there was no place to go after that. So, it's a great feeling. We've had the good fortune of giving ourselves a shot the last 4 years, and our guys finished it off this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, last year when you were in the section championship, I felt very confident, and then all of a sudden the train went off the tracks. And yesterday I was talking to some fans, and they were saying, well, you know, Breckenridge, I think it's going to be a good one. It was a one-point game earlier in the year. I don't know. I felt this, I don't know, call it clairvoyance. I said to myself, I think Breckenridge is going to get the job done. And boy, you came out and you took control of it, grabbed the bull by the horns at the beginning, and just never let him go. Loved it.
Yeah, it was good from the start. Yeah, our guys, the best thing about our team is how they're never too high, they're never too low. They're just workmanlike, you know, let's blue-collar football play. And we went out from the start, and you know, we had the ball. We kind of sputtered a little bit. Things looked like they were going to go, you know, in a really, really positive direction. And we sputtered a little bit. We hurt ourselves a few times during the game with penalties and things and set ourselves back. But again, our guys were just there. Their emotions were steady, and we didn't get too high. We didn't get too low. You know, sometimes it gets pretty intense in the trenches, so to say, and you know, the grabbing and the tugging and doing all those things that kind of end up being a little bit, gets you a little stressed out. Our guys manage those things pretty well, and it just turned out for a great Cowboy victory last night.
Now, I saw when you guys held the trophy at the end, I was watching other teams do it all day, and do you think there's a part of it, because you guys have been there so much, that there are guys that have been to the Fargo Dome two or three times now that are like, hey, no, this is just business as normal. We're just trying to get a job done.
You know, that's good to hear. We have kids. We've moved up guys, you know, just because of numbers. We've moved freshmen up consistently for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And we've had, you know, our seniors have been there 4 consecutive years. So they know, well, they haven't been to the Dome, but they've been in that championship game 4 consecutive years. So they know what it's about, whether they, you know, had experienced that ride in the high. Maybe it helped us a little bit, you know, to get that motivation of losing last year, and it definitely set the tone, you know, as far as where, you know, where we've come from and where we wanted to finish. So hopefully we got some more, you know, fuel in the tank.
Well, let's just not hope. Let's say that you do, because you got a playoff game next week.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, every time you come in, we talk about dude of the week, and there's a lot of dudes on this team. But you mentioned something. You said tone setters, and that's what I'm going to go with. Who was the tone setter in this game for you?
Oh, boy. I tell you what. It's good to have Cam Neto back. But it all really does start up front. And I know I've said this every time this year, but, you know, when you rush for, you know, you're averaging 300 yards on the ground, there's something going right up front. And I think between, you know, the Gibson Hasbargans, the Dallin Ernst, the Joey Konzemius, Zane Mickelson, Eli Butts, Corey Doman, Landon Bloffus at tight end, I think those are tone setters, because they get off the ball and they're consistently moving things. You know, granted, I led off with saying Cam. Cam's just, he's kind of the bulldog slayer, you know. I think that gives us a little bit more mojo, and obviously it kind of maybe sets a little question mark in the you know, the other side, OTC side. You know, I don't know. I just, like when we were talking about this earlier, there's plenty of dudes to go around, you know. The Gavin Johnsons, the Paul Armitage, my hat goes off to Paul. Paul's been our you know, guy. Obviously, Gavin's had some good games, and Alex Sanchez has been playing exceptional. But Paul, you know, with Cam back, just, you know, takes a step to the side. Not that he didn't get any snaps, not that he didn't get any yards, but you know, it's that team piece, and what a great teammate in that he just welcomes him back, and he knows that he's probably not going to get as many of the, you know, the stats and things like this. But I tell you, that kid is you know, just a fantastic, unbelievable guy. So unselfish. So. You know, Bailey was really kind of the interception that he had was just unbelievable.
Brother.
And he tries to tell us that he didn't know he had the football, and when he's kind of being cocky with the thing. Anyway, we'll leave that.
No,
to
I want to set that up
on Monday.
I want to set that up because it was a play in the flats. Bailey Evans is playing safety, corner, playing defensive back.
Yeah, safety. Yeah, corner kind of. Yeah.
All right. So he's in this defensive back position. He's coming up. I thought he was just going for the form tackle. All of a sudden, he's running down the sideline, and I thought that maybe his controller got broken. He just run it. I was like, did he take that? He took that ball right out of that man's hands. So shout out Bailey Evans.
It was really a good play. Really good.
He does a good job. I'm not going to call him a game manager, but giving the ball to his running backs too, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong between getting the ball from the center and giving the ball to a running back, and he does a pretty good job of not making any mistakes on that transition.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job, and again followed that up with a great performance last night. He was 1-for-1 in passing for 15 yards. You know,
that's a Breckenridge stat line right there.
We're throwing her all over the place, but it was a huge first down. We needed it. Kind of we were only up 14-0, and at that point, and kind of needed to kind of get that ball or get down and do something with that possession, and came up with a big first down throw to Alex Sanchez, turned it up, you know, and got a first down. So it just all the way around our defensive guys, Alex Schockert played exceptional. You know, we talked a little bit about Alex Martell, had 3 sacks. Landon Bloffus played well. Alex Sanchez, Gavin Peterson, and David Erlinson, as well as Alan Martinez in the inside, took care of their ISO, their dive plays. Austin Drulo played great. You know, so. 3 pickoffs, Jackson Riggs, Alan Martinez had his first interception of his career, and Bailey Evans had, we already talked about that. So it just, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know if the play of the game was Bailey's, or maybe might have been Gavin Peterson's stop on fourth down when he came through on their run play and you know, a tackle for loss and turned him over on downs. Those two really kind of stand out in my mind as far as our defensive side. But our defense, unfortunately, we didn't get the, you know, the goose egg up there. But overall, for the last 3 games, we've played stellar.
I'll tell you, if you a 34-6 win is just as good as a 28-0 win, Coach. I hate to break the news to you, but a win's a win's a win.
Right.
You talk about game-changing plays. I think I'm going to throw Nito's run. That was, what, a 35-yarder, 40-yarder?
Yeah, 40-yarder.
40-yarder down the far sideline from us, and it just broke it open. And you talked about the blocking up front. I want to say it was Bloffus, but again, you got to have a wide receiver out there blocking as well. And man, when Nito hits open grass, he's just a lawnmower, just poof, chairs it down.
Yeah, he kicked it down. Yeah, we were talking about that actually last night as a coaching staff, and Coach Urbis is up in the box, and he was hearing us already, you know, kind of disgusted that things weren't working out or who missed the block and things, and all of a sudden Cam comes out of there and goes for 6, you know, 40 yards. So, you know, we couldn't see it very well, and he saw it just open, you know, in part, and so we had some guys pick some guys off and gave, you know, Cam that ability to get up the sideline, and yeah, he's going house with it if he gets a chance.
And it's nice because normally right around this time we're wrapping up the season, we're saying, oh, you know, great season. Not yet. Got more games for you.
Yeah,
next
week. It was a lot of fun giving our seniors some hugs for the celebration part rather than, you know, the send off piece, you know. So I'm so happy for our seniors. I'm so happy for our team. You know, we're on our way to Alexandria, 7 o'clock game on Friday. We're playing Mineota. Mineota was state runner up last year, so it's going to be quite the feat, but I tell you, we're hungry, we're ready, and it's going to be exciting football next Friday.
What does it mean to you as a coaching staff to get to this point?
You know, it means the world, and ultimately, our staff is fantastic. We got a bunch of young guys, and Joel Herter, and sorry, Coach Herter, but you know. I already said Easton Urbis and Carson Yeagy and Jordan Christensen have done an unbelievable job. Michael McCall, Eric Erlandson jumping in there too after their seasons were done with our junior high and stuff. They've done flawless work, you know, and I owe it all to those guys for their relentless scouting time, commitment, all those things. So it means the world to me and to them, but ultimately it's about the guys. You know, it's about the guys that are going in there and the blood, sweat, and tears that they're putting in. And we got guys that are, you know, the mindset of putting aside your injury to get on the field for your teammates and things like this is been just unbelievable. Why not play more than one game? You know, let's go out and do our best, see what happens. This is the icing on the cake. We accomplished kind of the set goal is to win that championship, and now we're heading to the state tournament, and, you know, hopefully we make some noise.
Well, I was telling Turner, I'm going to say in August, I went to a Vikings game and I was watching, and they have like the previews for the events that are coming up. So there's concerts, and then they mentioned the playoffs. And I said to Turner, how cool would it be if right before Thanksgiving, Breckenridge was in the state tournament? And we both kind of chuckled and we're like, well, you know, we'd make a trip down to the cities. You just got to win one more game and we can go to the cities, coach. So please, like, let's get it done.
Oh, that would be awfully fun. That'd be awfully fun. You know, well, hopefully we have a good week of practice and hopefully we go in. We're going to give them our best shot. They're kind of similar to us in the fact that they like to run the ball quite a bit. I was watching a little film this morning and they were talking about statistically, you know, they have a really good fullback that's run for close to 1,000 yards already and some receivers that can catch the ball. So they got a group of talented kids, and they've been there. You know, they've been down to the Dome before. But, again, it's a new season. You know, we'll see who's hungrier and you know, well, I can't speak enough to how proud I am of our guys getting here, and I don't think that we're done. I think these guys want to see what they can do, and we'll go from there.
I don't think so either. Head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Chad Fredrickson. Before I let you go, because you mentioned the 1,000-yard rusher, we were looking at it, and it looks like you guys have like a 3,000 yards on the season when it comes to rushing, but you don't have a single 1,000-yard rusher. Is that the case?
It is, yeah. We have got a lot of guys that are tickling that. I didn't necessarily look at Cam's stats mm-hmm. this morning, but yeah, we're all in that probably 600, 700 range, and you know, Paul's there, and Gavin's there, and Cam, Sanchez is, you know, right in around that 500 mark, I think. So a lot of guys, you know, spreading the wealth, let's just say.
That's a statistical anomaly. That's incredible. Coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Chad Fredrickson, thanks so much for coming in, Chad.
I appreciate it, Andrew. Thank you very much.
More great Giant
it's
Sports
like
Show coming
music
up.
Music listening to me, right?
I know, it is. It's like the flute
it's
playing in my
music.
Ear. More of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Welcome back, Andrew Zimmel in studio with you on a Saturday morning. And coach, in with me is Coach Margaret Wilson from the Breckenridge Cowgirls. Their season wrapped up in the subsection championship on Thursday against the Henning Hornets. Coach, thanks for coming in.
You bet.
We knew Henning was going to be a tough team.
Yep.
They swept earlier in the year. And
yep.
You know, I talked on air about it, and I said, like, I think that it was more of a sweep because it was early in the season, not because they were, like, some superior team.
I agree, yeah.
And the subsection championship, I kind of had to eat some crow.
Yeah, definitely not how I expected us to play after the week of practice that we had, and just, you know, having played them at the beginning of the season to then. They did make some changes that we noticed in their postseason play compared to what they had earlier in the season. So they had a little bit of different personnel and rotations, but not that that
well,
has
tell
anything
me about
to
that,
do it.
Cause I'm curious.
They switched their middles around. They added another setter in for just a couple rotations that, you know, might not have been expecting type of deal. I thought they'd put a weaker blocker in front of our middles and they rearranged that a little bit too. So definitely smart play. I mean, you gotta, when they only had one blocker going against Addie and Haley, that we thought it was like we got to set them kind of thing, and that's what we prepared for a little bit, and then they they changed it on us. So, yeah. And that's how it goes, right? That's what a good coach does for a team and stuff. So, yeah, Henning played a very consistent game, like we knew they would. They're a very good defensive team. We didn't have any aces, you know, and they hustle after everything. And the kills that we got, you know, only a couple that were shanked, you know, somewhere through a block, which we worked on. But yeah, just. It just a very mentally maybe pushing game. Like, we had to overcome some stuff, you know, some bad calls from the ref that we needed to let go and be able to play the next play too. So it was a mix of things.
I'll say that this is the first time I think because I've watched Rutgers volleyball now for two seasons. I think this is the first game that parents were really chirping the refs more than the other team. Normally, it's the other way around.
Sure.
And I, you know, whatever. We don't need to really get into officials' calls or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there was like five long volleys. I call a long volley four or five times back and forth.
Yeah.
I call that a long.
Yep.
And I think there was five of them in the three sets. I think all five of them went to Henning.
Yeah. I think one in the third set went to us. Addie Trudeau finally put it away. But we prepared for that. We knew that was going to happen. You know, they're such a strong defensive team. So, yeah, I think, you know, going back, I would have liked us to serve receive a little bit better so that we could have ran a stronger attack off of the serve receive. We struggled with that a little bit. It definitely improved in the third set. But like starting off right away, it was a little bit of a struggle. I thought the first 7 points of the first set, 7 or 9 points. I thought Addie Twiddle played an awesome game. You know, she blocked super well, which I thought surprised Henning a bit. So we had momentum then.
Well, I think you got out to point leads in every single set.
Yeah, well, especially that third set, right? It was 9-1, you know, and they worked their way back into it. But, yeah, definitely it's, you know, it's bittersweet, right? Make it to the subsections. Whenever you can play in November is a big deal for volleyball. And to the make it to the subsection, like, 2 years in a row now, but previously it's been, like, since 1997. Like, we made it to a subsection championship. So definitely nothing to hang your hat about. But, I wish that we just would have played a little bit better. Like, we had really good stuff that we did. But, you know, just that serve receive could have been a little better. The hesitating between two players, you know, who's not sure to go get the ball, and then somebody has to scramble and send over a free ball, that kind of stuff. You know, as the girls look back at it, I'm sure they're like, oh, we should have done this or this kind of thing.
Which is not what you want.
No, it's not what you want, right? You want to go out fighting and clawing and playing until the end, you know? So,
but I do like what you said there, where you said, like, okay, you know, back-to-back subsection appearances, but before that it was 97.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of says where the program is versus where it was.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like,
this is a loss in the subsection, I don't need to tell you, disappointing.
Yeah.
But I think 4 years ago, you probably would have said, like, oh, you know, we made it this far.
Yeah, right?
And we have a good place to go.
Right.
All right, I like where we're at then.
Well, definitely, and I think the expectation for the program now, you know, is the bar set high. Yeah, that's going to be expected now out of every single team that we have coming up, right? This is where we need to be. Now, with the realignment of the sections again this spring, things could change. You know, it always makes
you never catch
up.
A break, huh?
Well, this is the one season I wish we were 8AA. Like, in my opinion, that's a weaker section. That's all our HOL teams from our conference, you know, that we beat this season. You know, how fun would that have been? But, you know, we play the hand we're dealt, right? So Henning is a very good team, and BBE out of the south half of the section is a super good team, too. So that's going to be a great lineup tonight. You know, last year we were number one, and BBE was number one. You know, so it is the two top seeds going to the finals.
And
tonight.
Didn't that go five last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, we won five. Yep.
So
both of them, when we played Henning and then when we played BB. Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. It's just like, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody in the section is pretty, well, not everybody. Let's rephrase that. About four teams in the sections are really freaking good.
Yeah. And when they're ranked, when two out of our section teams are ranked top 10 in the state, like, that tells you something about our section.
Mm-hmm.
It's super competitive, you know? And so it's definitely good volleyball here. And it's good to be a part of that and to play at that level. I mean, and that helps to set that expectation for, like, upcoming seasons and players and returners and all that stuff. So
when you're up 9-1
in a
must-win third set,
yep,
and you can see it start chipping away,
yeah,
as a coach, what goes through your head?
I don't want the girls to start freaking out. or are being afraid to make a mistake. You know, because when they change the mindset or worrying about that instead of just using that momentum and playing the game, that's when mistakes will happen. You know, when you dwell on that stuff, it's hard not to do that. So in one of the timeouts, I think Henning took a timeout when it was 9-1, and that's why I said we have to keep playing this way, okay? You got to shake it off. I mean, they're going to score points. We got to shake it off and then just move on to the next play, you know? So could see a little bit of that happening every time they went on a little run, you know? So, yeah, and then the hesitating starts happening, and then we're scrambling a little bit and not just playing our volleyball. But, I mean, I don't want to just talk about Henning, right? We had an awesome season.
No, yeah.
You know, our seven seniors led us. And they did what a lot of people said at the beginning of the season that was never going to happen, you know? And so I think they set the bar and said, this is what we want to accomplish this season. So very proud of all of them and everything that they accomplished, you know? It's just hard to end a season with a loss, obviously.
Clear out. Talk about your seniors.
Addie Twidwell, two-year starter. I mean, She played a huge role last year for us as a right side blocker and then transitioning to a middle blocker. I mean, that's a huge position for her, and she had an outstanding season, you know. She really developed into a strong hitter as well this year. So I'd love to see her play next year somewhere. Emma Etzler and Matea Vig and Ivy Oshuk that played right side for us. They had to fill two spots on the right side, and we knew going in, this is your role. You are a blocker first. You are shutting down a team's best hitters typically, you know. So definitely stepped into that role, and then it was, all right, now you got to play defense, and now we need you to attack, you know. And so some great numbers came out of them this year. Kelsey Searle, I love her to death. She did not want to set. And as a former setter myself, I was like, I don't care. You're setting. You know, we just lost our setters. You're setting this year. And I can't be more proud of what she accomplished. You know, probably one of the best defensive players as a setter we've ever had. Typically, setters are not very good defenders. And I thought Kelsey really stepped up her game that way. And then she led us. She just did what she needed to do, and she really improved throughout the season. So very, very proud of her for just settling into her role and doing what was asked of her, you know? So, yeah, Kennedy Schuler playing back row. I mean, she's one of our best serve receivers, and she worked hard. I mean, she did whatever we needed her to do, and it was a great all-out effort for her. So very proud of her, too. And, you know, Abby Johnson. I mean, seeing her through the program as a seventh grader, she played C squad, and then since she was an eighth grader, she was a starter for our varsity team. She knew what we needed to do, and you know, she took charge and led our team this year. But going to be hard to say not see her in the gym next year. Just somebody that's always been there. So excited to see what she's going to do next year for sure. But yeah, this group it's going to be hard to not see them at the spring meetings and it's summer ball and stuff. So definitely proud of those seven girls. And then I had three managers that have been with us since they were freshmen as seniors now, and to see them graduate. So, I mean, they play like that behind the scenes role and don't get a lot of credit, but I don't know what I'd do without them. There's a lot of stuff they take care of that I never have to worry about. So it's very appreciated to have those three help us out too.
Well, now you're going to have to break in three more next year.
I know, right? I mean, we'll see. I got one coming back or two coming back. So
okay.
I think it'll be okay. But yeah, I mean, that's a position that is taken for granted too.
You're telling me. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
I was, for my junior and senior year, I was the manager, quote unquote, for the basketball team. I did the film stuff.
Yeah.
Look, I got my flowers on senior day. The coach made sure that I got to walk and stuff. I didn't want to. Kind of trapped me, called my mom and said, hey, come on down. Zimmel's walking. I said, I'm not walking. All of a sudden, I'm having to come out of my crow's nest. It was a lot, but I'm glad that you're giving them credit.
But yeah, I mean, they do a lot. I don't ever have to worry about it. So yeah, maybe not a glorified role, you know.
You might end up on the radio.
Yeah, I might end up on the radio. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we're losing 10 girls that definitely made an impact on this program and have been a part of some great things, record-breaking seasons and that kind of stuff. But we have a good crew coming back. I mean, we got some good varsity experience coming back and some girls that are going to have to step up next year to fill some roles. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what we can do and what we can prepare for. And those girls are hungry for the next season. So it would be exciting.
Yeah. So the section changes in April, potentially.
It could, yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know. Some schools from 2A will go to 1A and vice versa, and it could all change.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say we're not going to 2A.
You know, I don't think we will, but I can see maybe like a Pelican Rapids dropping back down to 1A. Barnesville was 1A for a little bit, but yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, it could definitely change, which could change our whole mindset of our game. So yeah, definitely realign things, and yeah, I don't know. But either way, I don't think Henning's eating out of our section. So they're going to be a rival for a while now. And, you know, Underwood has a very young team. They're going to bring back a lot of strong players next year. So they're going to be good.
Head coach of the Breckenridge Cowgirls, Margaret Wilson. Thanks so much for coming in this season, Coach. You know how much we love you over here.
Thank you for following us this postseason. I appreciate that.
Of course. More of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giant Sports Show. In studio with us right now is NDSCS football head coach Eric Inzendorf. Coach, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us before your big championship game tomorrow.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
So let's get into it, because we were just talking off air about how this team is looking. And I was saying that during the regular season, I'm not saying you guys didn't look good, but in the playoffs, you guys have looked like a completely different type of cat, and I love it.
Yeah, I think it's just been a culmination of, the start of fall camp and, working your way through the front part of the season, having three home games, and having kind of, the luxury of just being at home. And then having to go on the road, be road warriors, play a tough team at homecoming, and I just think that right now we're just peaking at the right time.
What goes into that from a coaching staff, from like a game planning type of situation, that you want your guys to hit this peak at this point?
Well, it's really up to the coaches to try to, hold kids back a little bit, right? Play other kids when you're up, when your starters and things want to, they want to play. They want to play the full complete game. And it's our job to kind of cut back on some of that stuff in the third and fourth quarters and games that you kind of control. And because it's going to be a long season and it's a very physical one, much different than the high school game. So the experience that we've had, we know how to formulate, I guess, that plan.
Now, you mentioned, I think, a couple weeks ago that you were saying that, we want to win this game. I think it was talking about homecoming, that you want to win this game not only because it's homecoming, not only for your guys, but you got alumni in the stands, you're an alumni. It just matters a little bit more. And now getting to this point where you're going to go to St. Cloud tomorrow to play, the name is blanking on me, Coach, some of these names, to go play a championship game. What does that mean for the alumni? What does that mean for, like, the Wildcat, the lifelong Wildcat and you?
Well, I mean, that's where, that's where we all envision every team to be at, mm-hmm. and expect, I guess, at NDSCS is just playing a high level, whatever sport it is, basketball, volleyball. I mean, you see all of our sports really competing at a high level. I think baseball will get there eventually, too. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a lot of hard work and effort, and it's not without its challenges and its ups and downs and all those kind of things. That's kind of what makes the team, and so I guess we're just where we're at, trying to formulate the plan the best that we can.
Well, let's talk about that plan, because tomorrow, championship game, what has gone into it this week?
Well, M-State quarterback was, knocked out of the game against Rochester and later in the second half. And so we saw a completely different offense. They went to more of a, wing T style of play. And so this week in preparation defensively, it's been almost like two different game plans. We've had to, kind of formulate some things against, double tight full house backfield and in a short amount of time, and you can tell that they've been practicing it all season long. That was probably one of their backup plans due to the shortages of, you know, quarterbacks. And we're in no different situation with, you know, losing Drew. And, you know, we got Connor as a backup. But, you know, that kid was a D-line, O-line guy, coming out of high school. Clark Nelson, one of our scout team players from Two Harbors, you know, played high school quarterback in the wing T system, and he ran the offense that portion of the offense this week. And then as far as the passing and running part, we just went against our offense and just focused more on our rules, more on the speed, you know, being able to match ones versus ones and twos versus twos is an advantage to us because we're really, you know, talented on both sides. So and then you talk about special teams. You know, you got Nick punting at a high level right now. He's kicking some good field goals, extra points that are needed points, and we feel like, you know, he can probably kick one for 35 yards out, and you know, he can flip the field punting the ball, and we played really good special teams. We had a kick return for a touchdown, and we pinned our opponents back for the most part, you know, and making them establish long drives. So it's a lot, probably too much to go into in 15, 20 minutes. But, it's a lot of preparation and just keeping, you know, man, we conditioned yesterday. You know, we lifted, we lifted on Thursday. So, it's a lot. A lot to put in. The kids got to go to school, too.
Do you guys feel hardened at this point?
Man, we're just I think we're tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Our mindset, our physical presence, I think, is stronger than it was last year. I think we were on a different, we had a different meal system last year, and that kind of affected, you know, how much weight our kids kept on and lost. We definitely kept an eye on that this year, and we're definitely a stronger, more physical team, tougher mindset as we move into the championship rounds.
See, that's something that nobody ever talks about is the dietitian, the nutrition of some of these athletes and how they get to this level. So you credit a lot of the nutrition this year versus last year for where you guys are at?
Yeah, we tried something new last year to try to gain some practice time. We start a little bit later in the afternoon with our practices so that we can include our tech and trade. And the downfall of that is, you know, our dining services only stay open until 7 o'clock. So we have to try to fit in a, 2-hour practice into an hour and 30, hour and 45 minutes and then sprint them to, to the dining center. So what we decided last year was to box lunch their suppers so that we could gain that time. The kids didn't have to, sprint over and eat. You don't feel like eating anyways after you're running and practicing. Usually you kind of cool down and then you gain your appetite in, a half hour. So we tried that. We found out that kids, some kids just weren't eating because it wasn't good. Some of the bread and stuff had gotten, damp from the
get a little soggy.
Soggy and stuff, and then it was just we just didn't pay attention to it. Kids didn't complain about it. When we weighed guys after the season, Dylan Jurgensen, I think, lost like 25 pounds.
Oh God. You can't lose 25 pounds.
Yeah, not playing this game. So to me that's why we didn't finish in that semifinal round. We just kind of ran out of juice, I guess. One of the reasons that, not to make too much of an excuse, but it does have a significant part, in it.
Well, you call them Welchers because they got the juice this week going up into the championship game. Coach, it's been great to talk to you. I do want to get the confidence level, because you came in and I said, it's a like to win game, and you said, no, we're not gonna like to win, we're gonna win. I feel it, dude. I feel the confidence coming off of you.
I mean, when you're prepared and our kids are prepared and their mindset is right, it's just you know, we're going, you know, I told him, I said, we're working for eight quarters, not four. You know, we want to get to the national championship game, and this is something that we've talked about in previous years, and we've talked about it this year, and we're not hiding it, and we're going, I mean, we're going through it. We're going through it, and we're running through the door.
Love to see it, Coach. I feel the confidence. You guys play tomorrow. Is it a 2 p.m. kickoff game?
It's a 1 o'clock game.
1 o'clock game right here on KBMW. You can catch the Wildcats playing in the against M State. It's going to be a great game. Coach, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
More of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back, Andrew Zimmel, coming to you live on the air from the KBMW studios. I want to thank all of our coaches for coming in, Chad Fredrickson, Margaret Wilson, and, of course, Coach Isendorf for NDSCS. Don't forget that you can catch their game tomorrow right here at 1 p.m. on KBMW. I want to give you a little bit of a look in how the rest of Wahpeton sports are doing, because we didn't have any of the Wahpeton coaches come in this week. We have been trying to keep up with Wahpeton volleyball here, and it has been a kind of a struggle trying to keep up with the scores and make sure that we give the Huskies the credit that they deserve. They play Shanley today, I'm imagining at Shanley, at 6:30. So that game is today at 6:30 in a play-in game played at the higher seed. They will potentially be playing for a shot at the 9, or I guess it would be the 9, 10, or 11 seed going into the East Region Tournament, which all those games will be played at higher seeds before being hosted at West Fargo High School. And then, of course, the state qualifier. Those games are played at the higher seeded tournament. I imagine, again, we're going off of the NDHSAA Class A East Region Tournament schedule. So shout out to all of the Breckenridge Husky girls as they get their volleyball season coming up. We'll see how they do. It's been a tough time for the Huskies this season. What do we have their schedule? It was 5-23-10, something like that. Not a great winning season for the Huskies, but hey, playoffs is a completely different season, so we'll see if they can punch it in. Good shout out to them. Wahpeton Huskies, yeah. Wahpeton Huskies, big shout out to them. Now the Minnesota Vikings, they play the Washington Commanders on the road. This would be a curious game if Carson Wentz was playing. He does not look like he will be playing. He's on the injured reserve. So the Vikings at 6-1, trying to become 7-1. NDSU, they are out of town. That game will be right here on KBMW. So make sure you go to KBMWnews.com for a complete sports schedule for all your games. For everybody over here at KBMW, I want to thank you guys for listening to the Giant Sports Show. We'll be back next week with more Region Sports.